Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I want to say a couple things before I get into today's, what we're going to talk about today. Some of you could probably hear my oldest son back there, amening. And, you know, the Bible says that that's the greatest example of what faith is, if you can come like a child. And my boy Preston is, some of you may remember a few months ago, he's the only person in this church that ever took a lap. He came right down the aisle and just right around. But let me just tell you a little bit about what's going on in his life because it touches me as a dad. You know, there's a lot of things that kids can get into these days, and there's a lot of things that, you know, that we're not ignorant of. And but you don't want to put too much pressure on your kids. You know, you want them to kind of make their own decisions. Now, of course, you don't just let them do anything. All right, everybody got that. You don't just let them run wild and do crazy things. But you also want them to be able to make their own decisions. Because then you can kind of see where they are and if they're learning to what you're talking about. And so, you know, it's part of most schools, most, you know, and even some of the Christian schools talk about the stories of Greek mythology. All right. And those are fascinating stories. And of course, it's all just fiction. Preston's really kind of been fascinated with it. And I was too when I was that age. And let's just see if I can locate anybody in here. Anybody else grow up in the 80s, see the old Harry Hamlin Clash of the Titans? Yeah. Come on now. Everybody's like, we're in church. Are we allowed to talk about that? Yes. And so I was fascinated with that kind of stuff too. And so last night, he texted me, him and he loves books. And so him and his mom were at Books A Million. And he got on Jody's phone and was texting me, and he said, "Hey, there's a Dungeons and Dragons book here. Can I get that? It's got, you know, a lot of Greek mythology and stuff in it." Now, immediately on the inside, I'm just going to tell you, as a dad and a pastor, and more importantly, as a Christian, I'm like, I didn't think I was going to have to fight this battle yet. And so I text back and I was like, well, you know, I want to preface what I'm saying. I do care, but I texted him back and I said, I don't care if that's what you think you really want to spend your money on. And it was really kind of me testing my son to see if he was going to, and he texted me back and he said, you know what? I'm not going to get it. That's just the devil testing me. And he goes, I'm done with the dumb devil. I'm not messing around with that stuff anymore. And so when we were leaving to come here this morning, he had some other things that he was like, oh, man, I forgot to throw that stuff away. Now, see, I did the same thing when I was a kid. I remember I burned all my Kiss albums. Anybody else remember doing that? I burned them. That's of the devil. So I remember, and he goes, I'm real serious about this, Dad. I'm serious about that. And so, you know, I know that, you know, you can kind of hear that little high-pitched voice. But you know what? I'm okay with it because I know where he's at and I know what my son's getting into. And if he comes in here and he disturbs you, this may not be the right church for you anyway because we need to be vocal. Come on now. We need to be letting out our praise some. Amen? Amen. And you shouldn't be ashamed to worship God like a child does anyway. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, can somebody turn that light on over there? Again, I have to say it every week, but one day we'll get it on automatic pilot so we don't have to think about it anymore because it looks like every week like I need to come over and cast the devil out of this section over here because it's like that light just doesn't come on. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm going to try my best to get through all this in an expedient manner, because I got some things that I need to say, and I need to talk about our vision for this year. But don't put the scripture up yet. I'm not there. In our daily grind of our life, and we've been talking about God in the real world for the past couple of weeks, We have a set of directions to do things. We have rules that we have to follow. We have laws that we must obey. There are things that we do at work and dress codes, and then you got to pay taxes, and you got to put up with your family. Groceries to buy, things to follow, bills to pay, marital challenges, financial insecurities, bad sleeping habits, responsibility, and the list goes on and on and on. And with all this going on and all these steps to follow and all these things that we have to do, God is in the center of all of these, presented to us all the time. People need to know Him and try to be more like Him. And we know that this is good and this is beneficial, but a lot of times we are ready to put God the first thing off the list. Something's got to give. I've got too much going on. I think I'll skip church today. I think I'll read my Bible tomorrow. And the reason is because I really think that most people don't really look at their relationship with God as something that affects the real world. And by doing that, they're not actually removing responsibility. They're actually weakening themselves, and what responsibility is there becomes heavier. But once you understand how God works in the real world, you understand how important your relationship with God is and how you must continue to put Him first. You have to put God first. And so this is the last week we're going to talk about this. I'm not going to review everything, but we're going to talk about something real important this week as we get into Vision Sunday. And this is actually one of the most important things in how God operates in the real world. The first thing is this. Here it is. God's power is not a substitute for working hard. Oh, man. Wouldn't that be awesome if it was? I'm just going to sit back and just pray and believe God for everything, and I'm just going to be on easy street. That would be incredible. Unfortunately, we have been duped by somebody into thinking that that's how this works. Some people believe that God's power is going to do everything, and they can just sit back and let Him do everything. And you talk to some of them, you can see it coming because you can hear it in their answers. What's going on with you? Or, I'm just waiting on God. There is no place in the Scripture where God's power substituted the work of someone else. God's power never substituted somebody else's work. God's power always blessed someone's work. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse number 12. Now, if you've read the Bible at all, Deuteronomy chapter 28 talks very much about blessings and cursings. It says, if you listen and obey the commandments of the Lord, this is the blessings. If you don't listen, this is the curses. Now, the first part of it, he's talking about blessings. This is where he says, blessed you'll be in the field, and blessed you'll be in the city, and blessed you'll be, and you'll be above and not beneath, and the head and not the tail. And you'll say all these things, and it's the blessing. Right in the middle of him talking about this, in verse number 12, he says this, the Lord will send rain at the proper time from His rich treasury in the heavens. Now, a lot of people go, oh yeah, baby, send the rain right now. Come on. I got my bucket out, and I'm ready. What is the rain for? He says, I will send it and will bless all the, and somebody should circle this, underline it, and draw arrows towards it with big stars next to it. Because this is the part the church forgets right here. All the work you do. You will lend to many nations. A lot of us won't be that guy. I want to be the billionaire that lends to people. You working for it? Because if you ain't, you ain't. You don't know God. Yes, I do. Says it right here. You will lend to many nations. but you will never need to borrow from them. We claim this all the time. A lot of people will speak this over their lives. But if you're not working for it, you're not going to get it. This chapter was talking about blessings being upon the obedient. God was telling the children of Israel, I will bless what you're doing. Now, I want you to notice some of the words he used. He said, blessed you'll be here. Blessed you'll be there. Blessed you'll be in your towns. Blessed you'll be in the city. Blessed you'll be in the field. Blessed, 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 blessed. Now, right in the middle of the blessing, God told them to go ahead and keep working. So now here's the question. What is the blessing of God on the field, on the city, on the town, on your livestock, come on your finances, what's the blessing on you for? What's it on you for? The blessing is not a substitute for hard work. The blessing is to cause the hard work to be more profitable. When your field is blessed, that doesn't mean it's going to grow corn magically.
Come on.
My field is blessed, and boom, nobody did anything. And look, it just reaped a harvest of corn. That's not what a blessed field is. Come on now. It's not going to harvest corn on its own. It means that when you plant corn, come on, it's going to produce more corn than somebody else down the road who isn't got a blessed field. Come on, somebody. Somebody should have caught that and didn't. I don't want to work, though. I want to be blessed. When your cows are blessed, that's not talking about your wives, men. Don't go there. When your cows are blessed, that doesn't mean that they're automatically going to fill buckets of milk by themselves. Right. You're going to walk out and there's just going to be the 12 buckets in front of Bessie there. Hey, look at that. She just milked herself. That's amazing. Why? She's blessed. That is not what that means. It means if you go milk them, they're going to produce more milk than somebody's cows who aren't blessed. Come on, somebody. They'll produce more calves, healthy, strong calves, if you keep them healthy and grazing. Listen, when you're blessed in the city, that doesn't mean you just walk down the city and people just start dumping buckets of money out on you. This is not a scripture to win the lottery. I had people tell me that one time. Said, I'll be blessed in the city. I live in the city, so I'm going to win the lottery. It means that when you deal in the city, you'll do business better.
Right.
Come on. You'll get deals.
Yep.
You'll get favor.
Amen.
Come on. You'll be the person finding the unbelievable deal. Some of you heard my talk about my mother-in-law buying that Christmas tree, one of them big 9-foot-tall, pre-lit, huge, gigantic Christmas trees, and she bought it for less than $5. That's what I'm talking about.
Yep, that's right.
When you negotiate, come on, you'll find favor. Why? Because you're blessed in the city.
Yes.
When you go and you're blessed at work, when you go to your job and you work, that doesn't mean that you're going to go and be Homer Simpson and put your feet up on the desk and eat donuts all day.
Right. Come on.
Oh, look at me, I'm blessed. Oh. That means that when you go and you put your hand to work, come on, you're a work actually profits the company, you get noticed, you get a promotion, come on, you get a raise, come on somebody, you're blessed at your job. But none of this happens if you're not putting your hand to work.
Come on.
If you will work, your effort piggybacks on the blessing. That blessing is sitting there, and it's just waiting to carry something. But it's not going to carry laziness. It only carries work and effort. And if you'll go and you'll work, come on, in the real world here, your effort piggybacks on the blessing of God that he promised you and obligated himself, and your work then becomes profitable.
That's right.
I'm waiting on God. Well, just keep on waiting then. The rest of us are going to go on. God's healing power isn't going to correct your body when you abuse your body. God's financial power isn't going to cause money to drop in your lap from nowhere when you're spending it crazy. God's joy in the Holy Ghost isn't going to make you happy if you want to sit around and focus on the negative all the time. You want to sit around and just be depressed, talk about how gloom and doom and awful everything is, and then you just say, I don't understand why God's not making me happy. Well, because you're not doing anything for him to bless and make you happy. You just want to sit around and complain. God blesses all the work that you do. Most people know that when it comes to their job, their life, they know that if they don't do something, nothing gets done. They know that if they don't work hard, they're going to get fired. Nobody, including God, is going to give anybody a free ride. The only free ride we have is to heaven. And that's only after we accept Jesus. There's nothing else you can do to earn it. You accept Jesus, that's your free ride. But everything else, you got to work for. And he'll bless your work. Most people don't know hard work applies when it comes to church. We're waiting on God. We're waiting on someone else. We're waiting for things to become worthy of our time and our effort before we put everything we can into it. Listen to me. The blessing manifesting in your life is in direct correlation to your faith and your effort. The blessing manifesting in this church is a direct correlation to your faith and your effort. Now, a lot of times we go to other places and we didn't have to do nothing. We could just, you know, wow, I just felt the Spirit of God there. Yeah, because there was 4,000 other people there, come on, putting some faith and effort into practice. Yeah, but I went to go see, you know, so-and-so at the Amway Center, and man, I just walked in the door having the worst day of my life, and I just felt energized by the power of God that met me at the door. Yeah, because there was 19,000 other people there praying and putting forth some effort and faith.
Yeah, that's right.
If you're going to have that kind of stuff happen in church and you show up here all the time not doing anything, guess what? You're not going to get anything out of this.
Come on.
Now, I want to say this. When I say faith and effort, that doesn't mean you're earning the blessing. You can't earn it. Why? Because you don't deserve it. None of us do. We're never going to be able to earn the blessing. We're not working for the blessing. We're giving God something to bless. I'm not earning anything. But God doesn't dump his blessing out on nothing. Y'all remember when you went to school and you learned your multiplication tables? What is anything times zero? Zero. No effort, no blessing. No faith, come on now, no blessing. You're not earning it, you didn't earn it. He will bless your effort because of Jesus. That's the only way you can earn it. Okay, the blessing on this church is in direct correlation to our faith and our effort. And I don't mean our as me and Jody. I mean our as collective, everybody in this room.
Yep.
All right, if we don't grow, it doesn't mean God's blessing for growth isn't here.
Right. Yeah.
I've had people already tell me that. Well, God's not blessing your church with people. No, it's because people like you are complaining. And walking out the door and not telling anybody about this church. Come on, somebody. That's a bad place to not amen. If we don't grow, doesn't mean God's blessing for growth isn't there. It's that we're waiting for God to dump people through that door instead of working and allowing God to bless our work by recruiting people through that door.
Yes, come on.
Nobody wants to hear this. All right. I'll preach to myself. Now let me ask this. What kind of work are we talking about? What kind of work? Any work? Will God bless any work? To a degree, God blesses some and all work. But he's only really obligated to bless the steps that he leads you to take. Okay? We can't just do anything, run around like chickens with our heads cut off, trying to do a million different things at once and expect God to bless all of it. Now, he'll bless some of it. Okay? But God is obligated to bless the things that he is calling us to do. If we're just doing anything expecting God to bless it, that's what we talked about in week one, doing it mechanically and religiously. Okay? We need to be doing what God is leading us to do. Now, he leads us in two ways, and then we're going to get into the vision. Here it is. First thing is this. Common sense is a leading of God. If you don't use your common sense, you're not using what God gave you. I mean, if I don't want to get sick and I go hang around people with the flu, guess what I'm asking for? What's the exception? When God tells me to go pray for somebody that's got the flu, then guess where I'm going? And guess what? I'll be safer there than if I stayed at home.
Yep.
Why? Because he told me to go. But unless he tells me to go lay hands on somebody with the flu or in some jungle in Africa where they got the plague, listen to me. If I go and he didn't tell me to go, he's not obligated to keep me safe.
Right.
And if I don't want the plague, guess where I'm not going? Where the plague is. What is that? That's common sense. Now some people go, well, you don't need to be afraid. Anywhere you walk, you're just a carrier of the Holy Ghost. If he tells me not to go there, I'm not going. I don't care who's inside of me. Because he wouldn't tell me to go and then go, but I'm with you. It's all right. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then he's schizophrenic and he doesn't know start from the end.
Right.
I'm with you. Go ahead. But don't go there. God's not double-minded, y'all.
That's right.
He knows what he's doing.
That's right.
And so if I don't want to get the flu, guess what? I'm not going to go where people have the flu. If I go and lay hands on somebody, catch this now. If I go and pray for somebody in the hospital, guess what I'm doing? It isn't anything personal, but as soon as I walk outside that room, I'm hitting that hand sanitizer machine like it's my job. Why? Common sense. I did that one time. Somebody got offended. Like, well, you think we're just like dirty or something? I'm like, no, you're sick. Nothing personal. I just don't want that. I remember when I was on pastoral staff at Rhema, and we'd have membership class, and we'd have 400 or 500 people come join the church. And we'd have to, all the pastoral staff would have to stand down front and shake hands. And they all come down, and you're shaking hands with everybody. And you're just, and then as soon as we'd all go sit down, you'd see everybody's wives all everybody's wives, man, popped out those little bottles of hand sanitizer. And we'd have to hide it because people would get offended. Like, and we'd be rubbing it all on our hands. And people would be like, "What? Do you all think you're better than us?" I'm like, no, but we don't know who down here is snotting all over their hands before they come through the line. It's common sense. Come on now. Don't go spend all your money on new clothes and then say, I don't have no money to pay bills. That's common sense, folks. Look at these new $200 shoes I just bought. I can't pay my electric bill, but don't I look good? Am I being mean? No. This is working. This is what I'm talking about. God blesses your effort. Okay? Don't keep going back to the same people that hurt your feelings and walk all over you and treat you bad. You go back to them, they treat you bad, then you kind of go, well, listen, God will bless you if you just use your common sense and not go.
Right. Amen.
Don't expect to be a millionaire if you're not working and investing. It's common sense. Some things are common sense. The other thing is this. God will bless you specifically what he leads you to do. If he tells you to do something, you do it, you'll run into it. You'll run into the blessing and piggyback on it, and God will bless your effort. What he tells you to do is not to hurt you, but to direct you into the blessing. So when he starts dealing with you, listen to me now, when he starts dealing with you to give something away, God, it isn't to hurt you or to teach you something or to take something away from you. Come on, he's trying to lead you into a bigger blessing. Come on, if he tells you to go talk to somebody, he's not trying to embarrass you. Come on now, he's trying to get you to step into a greater measure of the anointing. Oh, it's so much easier for me to just sit back and not do anything and live in that bubble. God blesses what you do, especially when he leads you to do it. So we get to that point right there, and this is where I'm jumping into the vision. Here it is. We have to do some things here. There's been a lot of waiting, and we can't wait anymore. We're going to be 6 years old this year. Now, there are some things that the Lord's still, you know, dealing with us about way off on there, and I've had people question whether or not I even am hearing from God about some things because I don't talk about it. I don't talk about it because it's still down the line. These are things that we can be doing right now that'll get us down there. So now I want to just recap real quick what you see on the windows over there. This is the grand vision, the general vision for Direction Church, right here. We are a safe place where we take the journey together as a family by knowing God, receiving from God, and doing something for God. Why are we a safe place? Because there's been a lot of abuse in the body of Christ. There's been pastors that run off with building funds, and there's been people that, you know, just abuse their people. And I mean, I think sometimes I see some of these guys and I go, why can't you carry your own Bible?
Come on.
What's the matter with you? Now, it's okay if I'm walking in the door, and it used to happen to me all the time at Raymond. People would walk up to me and be like, let me get that for you. And if I go speak somewhere, it happens all the time. Now, if it happens, praise God. Thank you. That's a blessing. And I'm not asking for any of you to do that, so don't anybody go take. He's dropping hints. No, I'm not dropping any hints. Look at me. I'm more than capable of carrying my own Bible. I don't expect that.
Nope.
Okay? But I know places that they would make people do that. Required. That's abuse. You make people do something they don't want to do, or they don't really feel comfortable doing, or that you feel like you're worthy doing it, you're not worthy of being a pastor. I'm sorry. It's my own personal opinion, and I'll call it that. But we're a safe place where that kind of stuff's never going to happen. Where we take the journey together. The journey together, some people are just now, 6 years into it, just now starting to understand what that means. What does that mean, Pastor? Listen, I grew up in a church where we did everything together. That was where my friends were. That's where my family was. That's where we did, you know, during the week we were thinking about it. You know, during Wednesday nights we were. So what? Not are we going to church tonight? What time are we leaving?
Right.
All the big events throughout the year were based around church. I remember on Easter Sunday, the Easter egg hunt was not just a big deal. It was a huge deal. Huge deal. People you hadn't seen in church for a long time came back. It was a big deal. And that was the kind of atmosphere I was raised in. Jody was raised the same kind of way. Church was your life. Not because it was creepy and cultic or religious. It's because we all just loved being around each other. And so we would, you know, and I remember in 1979 when my mom got sick, my mom had an incurable blood disease called pemphigus. You want to be grossed out? Go ahead and Google that. Some of the nastiest things I've ever seen in my life. Sores all over her, and she'd be the first person to tell you about it. And I remember the church is what helped us get through it. There was two things. We got turned on to the word of faith during that. And that's the first time I ever heard Kenneth Hagin's name in my life. And if you don't know who that is, that's who I used to work for. That's the first time I ever heard his name or a book or anything, and I was only 9 years old. That's kind of impacted. The second thing was our church was beside us every step of the way. They would call special meetings to pray for my mom. They would come to the hospital in shifts and pray with my mom around the clock. And they would come and they would all come over to my house. And you know, my mom was in the hospital. My dad was there, and there would be all 30 people in our little living room, all praying. That's what I'm talking about. That's what the journey together is. You're going through it with somebody. That's why we say it like we do. Okay? We're a place where we want to help people know God. You got to know God. You don't know God? I don't know what to tell you, except you need to know him. What does that mean? Know him well? Yeah. But you need to be introduced to him first. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's the only way you're getting to heaven. And we want you to know him that way first and then get to know him better in your relationship with him. All right? So that's the know God. Then we want to receive from God. You know, I just mentioned Kenneth Hagin a second ago. He used to say the hardest thing to get people to do is to receive from God. They know him. They know they're going to heaven. They receive salvation easy. But to get them to receive healing or prosperity or joy or anything else is the hardest thing in the world because they're always looking for a feeling first instead of receiving it by faith. And that's when he got the mandate to go teach my people faith. And so we want to help you learn how to receive from God. That's why I talk about faith so much. Because if you can learn how to receive from God, man, it takes your life up a whole nother level. You understand that your job's not your source. Come on. You start understanding that your spouse is not your source of happiness. They're a blessing from God, but they're not the end-all, be-all. You start understanding that the world that we live in is not the source of our happiness. Right. He is. And I can ask him for it, and he'll give it to me. Yes. So that's what we want to do. We want to help you receive from God. And then we want you to fulfill the purpose that you've been put here for. We want you to do something for God. Yeah. If you just get saved and want to be a spiritual fat cat and sit around and just receive all the time, and you don't do anything, you're missing out on the rest of what you got saved for. You're missing out for the whole point of being able to receive from God. You need to be able to do something for God. And we got plenty of things that need to be done around here. We don't believe that you came through our doors by accident. We believe that you're here to help us fulfill that vision. Come on, and do something for God. All right? It's because God has something that needs to be done here in this part of Florida, come on, in this part of Orange County, in this part of Orlando, that only you can do. Kids, I'm talking to you too.
Yep. That's right.
That you are the only person that can do it. I doubt that very seriously. No, that's God didn't make a mistake by creating you. Not like he was like, well, you know, I'm going to make them, you know, just as in the cookie cutter bunch. And so they are just like 7 billion other people. No, no, no. You're unique. Come on, your fingerprints are the only one. You are the only one that has them. He is not mistaken. He put you here to do something that only you, come on, can do for him. I expected a better answer there. Amen than that, so. So inside that ongoing general vision this year in 2018, we're going to work hard. And we're going to run into the blessing. Come on, somebody. Now, if you think about what I'm saying today, encapsulated in this, we have a big vision, but it's going to take big commitment. Don't get quiet and go, I don't know. What are you talking about? How much commitment, Pastor? I can see you tensing up right now. That's what we're talking about. God first. Come on now. Come on. It's going to take a big commitment. But let me tell you something. I guarantee you it's going to reap a big reward. And I don't mean just in the sweet by and by. Come on, my mansion's going to be bigger because of it. That's part of it, but that's not all. Come on now, I am going to be blessed right here, right now, in the middle of everything that's going on. I'm reaping a big reward. So the vision for this year can be broken down into four P's. Just happened that they all started with P this time. I did a 21-day fast at starting the year and just really sought God, and it was really funny how things were coming up in my spirit and how he would point stuff out to me. Say, see, that's what I'm talking about right there. The first thing is this, and I would advise you to take notes. The first P is promotion. And I don't mean promote like we're receiving a promotion at work. I'm talking about promotion as in telling people. God dropped us on my spirit first. And he said this, if people don't know about you and hear excitement from you and your people, why would you expect them to find you? Well, wouldn't God just send them our way? Some. Well, won't Google handle some of that? Some. But the biggest factor in getting people to know about this church is you. There are 2.5 million people in the Orlando, Orange County, Kissimmee area. 2.5 million. Most do not know about the leading of the Holy Spirit. Most do not know about faith. Most don't even have a relationship with God outside of what they learned in Sunday school or catechism class at Catholic school. Come on now. Most of them don't even know they're looking for a church. So they're not going to get on and Google church near me. Church in Orlando. Come on now. They're looking for relationships. That's one of the number one needs people are having in the world right now is a relationship. Okay? The reason people are so big to have relationships with somebody else is because deep down they're looking for God. They have me and Luke, you were talking about this the other day, a God-shaped hole is in everybody. And we're trying to fill it with everything but him. But listen, you all have, come on now, filled it with him. And you, come on now, doesn't mean you're perfect, but you've already filled the hole. And so you need to go and tell somebody else and build that relationship with them. And if you have to start filling the hole with just you, what are we doing? You're priming the well, come on, to get them to the point where they find Jesus.
Right.
Come on, and then the hole in their life gets filled.
Oh, yeah.
All right? So we have to promote through relationship building, and then just telling people to our community, okay, we got to go. We're going to go out and use it to increase God's kingdom here in our area.
Yeah.
We want to increase the kingdom here at Direction Church.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, we want to and have for a long time wanted to go on TV, and I don't mean just to go on and have a nice TV show where we, you know, for your $1,000 love offering today. No, we're not. We're going on to promote the church and tell people about Jesus.
That's right.
All right, so we want to. All right, we have done as much upgrading as we can on our stream. We're stepping it up online because online doesn't cost us anything.
Right.
Yep. TV time costs.
Yeah.
Okay, but online doesn't cost anything. Right now, this week, we've been able to finally get our stream updated to the place as good as we can make it here. Right now, and there's plenty of people watching, we're streaming live, not just on our website. We're on Facebook Live. We're on YouTube Live. We're on Twitch Live. And, yeah, we're going after the gamers. We don't care. And we're streaming live on our website. Now, a lot of you come to church, and I've seen Yvonne and Sandy, notoriously, has sat here with their phones or their tablets streaming. Well, you don't have to do that no more because it's on YouTube Live. All you got to do is when you come, or Facebook Live, when you come in, go to Direction Church's page and click that little share button, and it'll go on your page, and it'll look just like you sitting there, only it's going to look better because we are actually going through a switcher and cameras and the soundboard, and it won't sound like I'm in a tunnel. and look like I'm 80 feet away from you. Okay? All right. So we're going to upgrade the stream a little bit more. I will get to that in a minute. All right. We're going to start doing more throughout the week with video. Some of you, this week was kind of hectic, but last week I did a Facebook Live session at noon on a Thursday, I think, 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago. And it was just to kind of talk about the church, talk about what we've been talking about, and those are going to continue. And you're going to start seeing a video blog. Now, I posted some of these maybe a month or so ago. When we first started the church, we borrowed video equipment and actually filmed some video blogs, and they were really good. I went back and watched them. I was like, golly, that's really good. And handsome. Who is that guy? No. So we're going to bring a lot of that back. Now, it is not just so to build Brent Bailey's ministry. Sometimes you're going to see Jody on there. Sometimes you're going to see Luke on there. Sometimes you may see Terry or Yvonne or Ralph or one of the other pastoral staff members on there. You might see Dane and Angela pop up on there from time to time. This is not just about me. So just relax. Okay? We're here to try and promote the church. And so those are going to start. Now, right now, in the lobby at the really refurbished and brand new looking information booth out there, we have invite cards that are business card size that's got the church name, address, and service time on it. You ought to be taking those and handing those out like crazy to people.
That's right.
Where do you hand them out, Pastor? Every time I go out to eat, when I pay, it goes right underneath, right there next to where I tipped. I lay it right there. Because I tip good. I'm not a cheapskate. I tip good. Because I know it speaks well about Jesus when I do. All right? That's extra. Not in my notes. All right. But I leave those cards out and about. Now, we didn't just print those. You know, praise God. Ray prints our stuff. You know, bless God. If you need printing needs, go see him. Ray, right here, Ray Carter. Go see him. They just changed the name. What's it called again? DPS Printing. It's right down here on John Young. He does all kinds of commercial printing, good stuff. He does all of our stuff for us. We're not just doing that stuff just for our health. We want to be able to have to run out of those. Come on, somebody, because we've handed so many of them out.
Yep.
You know how much that costs? This doesn't cost no postage, no nothing. You just go and hand it to somebody. Come on, somebody. You just put this in your check when you're paying somewhere. It says you're invited right on the front, and it's got the service time. Got our cool little logo on the back. You can hand these out, and it's awesome. All right, that's promotion. Okay, we got a little project we're going to start. We want you, now this is going to be a challenge. This is going to be a challenge. But we want you to talk about, in some form or fashion, at least 3 times a week about your church. And I don't mean complaining to your spouse or complaining about the planning center. Come on now. Or complaining about being scheduled. I'm talking about your church in some form or fashion to somebody at work or somebody at school or somebody at the grocery store or something. And it doesn't have to be a formal invite. Like, hello, complete stranger. Would you please like to come to church with me today? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you're at work and you hear somebody talking about something. You go, hey, you know what? My pastor just talked about that. That's one. See how easy that is? It's so easy. You hear somebody having, you know, problem, their kids are sick or whatever. And you say, you know what? I'll be praying for them. At our church, we believe in healing. That's two. See how simple that is? Doesn't have to be a big formal thing, but it is challenging. You got to find 3 times a week. We're calling this hashtag give me 3. And you're going to see it start popping up on the things up front there. How many think you can do that? 3 times a week. You got 7 days. Come on, just find somebody. And ask God. Ask God to show you. God, show me at least 3 people. All right? All right. To the church family, here's how it breaks down to you. We gotta have your participation in the promotion.
Yeah.
We have to. Sharing and commenting and inviting on social media, that's imperative. Not just liking, nobody sees your like. But if you share it, come on, everybody sees it.
Yep.
Does it really make that big a difference? Bigger than you think. And it's free.
Come on.
All right? Be part of the handing out of materials when we have an event. And we say, hey, we're going to go into the neighborhoods and hand out flyers. Now, we are going to start that earlier this year. You're going to hear about that in a second. All right, I got to hurry. The stream's going off in 15 minutes. All right. We just started an online store for church gear. directionchurch.threadless.com. Let me see that, Sandy. And Debbie's got her shirt on. Stand up and model it for us, Debbie. And they're more than just these white ones. We have all colors. Look at these cool little, look at that. We've got cell phone covers and beach towels and all kinds of stuff on there. And you can go on, and the church gets a percentage of that comes back to the church. All right, now you go, why don't you got them in the lobby? Well, because it's easier to have somebody carry the inventory for me, and I don't have to put up no money for it. Amen. That's just wise investing is all that is. They are print on demand. They make it all right then and there as soon as you place your order. How long did it take you to get that? About a week, all right? So you know what? You go to the gym. You go out walking. Wear your Direction Church swag. Come on, somebody. We got tank tops for you to go to the gym in. Come on. We got workout gear on there. We want you to be able to tell somebody about it, all right? All right, they got coffee mugs. Totes. I mean, the list is endless. And it's all broken down, men's, women, and kids, and babies. And so, just saying. Onesies with the Direction Church on the front. It's awesome. Okay? All right. Here in the next couple of weeks, we will have free for you. We're going to have some bumper stickers to stick on your car with the new logo. But then we also have something called a pop socket. Anybody know what a pop socket is? It goes on the back of your phone, and it pops. Yeah. It pops up, so you got a little handle. So you can be talking and not have to worry about it falling out of your hand. See that? That's called a pop socket. This one's got somebody else's name on it, but ours is going to have the Direction Church on there. And then they pop back down so you can stick it back in your pocket. All right, so we'll have those, and you'll be able to put those on your phone here just as soon as we can get them done. All right, and I just lost my place, so I got to scroll back down there. The next P, after promotion, and we got to hurry, is preparedness. We got to be prepared for this community to know Jesus before they can know Jesus. We got to be prepared.
Yep. Come on. Yes.
If we're not prepared for them to know Jesus, then they're not going to know Jesus. Okay? Because we are the hands and feet of Jesus.
Yep.
We are the representatives that he uses here. So we got to make ourselves ready. Okay? We have to prepare this house for the church to expand.
Right.
It's kind of like having a baby. When you start painting the nursery, pink or blue. Am I going to put up Noah's Ark stuff, or am I going to put up, Barbie stuff? I don't know. Noah's Ark, I guess, works for anything. Am I putting up, G.I. Joe, or am I putting up Barbie? I mean, whatever. We are going to prepare ourselves the same way. Now, I want everybody to look at the chair next to you, especially if it's empty, and the chances are good it is, okay? Don't just see this empty as an empty chair. See it as a person that's going to hell and doesn't know Jesus. See that empty chair as a person that knows that doesn't know Jesus and is going to hell. Okay? And if you're going to take any, write anything down, write it down. Here it is. An empty chair is a serious matter. That's the logo. That's the motto for the year. An empty chair is a serious matter. And I get that from Luke chapter 14. Jesus is talking here in verse number 16. He says, a man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, come to the banquet, come, the banquet is ready. But they all began making excuses. One said, I have just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me. Another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant returned to and told his master, and they said his master was what they had said. His master was furious and said, "Go quickly into the streets and alleys of town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame." After the servant had done this, he reported, "There is still room for more." So his master said, "Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come, so that the house will be full. For none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet." This is not just a nice story. This is Jesus telling us how important this is. All right? So we got to be prepared.
Yeah.
And you got to prepare yourself. All right? We're going to get to that in a second. If you see something that needs to be done, just do it. If you walk in here and the chairs are crooked, you don't have to go and ask somebody, "Is it okay if I straighten up these chairs?" Yes, straighten up the chairs.
Yep.
You know, it's the Disney philosophy. Even the president picks up trash.
Yep, that's right.
And I can't tell you how many times I've walked out of here and seen trash laying on the floor, and I know people were standing there talking right next to it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm not looking at Luke. he's on staff. I can pick on him. Okay. If you see chairs that need straightened, straighten them. If you need trash picked up, if you see it, pick it up. Okay? Is this your church?
Yes.
I mean, if it is, you don't need my permission or anybody else's. Make the house look clean. Make it look awesome. Inside the church, we need to be prepared spiritually. That's why I started the first of the year with a great big bookmarker. Which I don't know what I did with it. Take it out. Anybody got their bookmarker handy? I got it. This is why I started this. This was part of the vision. It got sneak peeked early. This is all of us reading together. Everybody at Direction Church reads their chapter every day, Monday through Friday, and one Saturday in June. We are preparing our hearts and our minds to be who people need. Come on, they need us. All right? So that's why we started this. We're preparing ourselves to have compassion on people, to witness to people, to be a light for people. All right? To prepare, and then we got to prepare ourselves mentally to operate in excellence when there's no reason for it to be excellent. Now, I want to speak to this for a second because I see that a lot. And we're probably going to lose the stream audience here in just a few minutes. So if we do, I'm just going to tell you right now, all of this will be posted later, and we love you. All right. So let me say this. Sometimes we only put our best effort forward when the demand is there. But when you're operating by faith, you got to put forth the effort first. Now, I'm just going to say something. When you're sitting there and when you're sitting down trying to do a job, that's not doing your job. We got to operate in excellence, which brings me to point number three. The third P is professionalism.
Yep.
We need to up it.
Come on.
Now, I want to say this. Professionalism is not an excuse to treat everybody else like garbage. And that is something that happens all the time. Just because we're going to be professional doesn't mean that we're going to be jerks.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
We're still going to love people.
Yep.
And we're still going to be, you know, soft isn't the right word. We're going to be compassionate on people.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right? We're not going to look down on people.
That's right.
Ever. Amen. You're missing the point of professionalism. Here's what professionalism means. If you look it up in the dictionary, the conduct, aims, or qualities that characterize or mark excellence. Well, what's excellence? Something that's very good of its kind or eminently good. Excellence is not perfection. And I want to make sure that's clear because we are not going to be perfect.
Right. Right.
If we tell you and we put forth some standards, don't get nervous. This is a safe place. Come on. This is a safe place. I'm going to tell a story about Matt. Me and Matt, just this morning, I hope he's okay with this. Me and Matt, I said, "Matt, and I was giving him some instruction on the stream, and I could see him starting to tense up. Oh, what if I do it wrong? If you do it wrong, you did it wrong. Mm-hmm. Who cares?
Right.
That doesn't mean we don't aim for excellence.
Yeah.
We got room to make mistakes.
Yeah.
Mistakes, though, are made only when you're trying.
Yeah.
Sitting back doing nothing is not a mistake. Come on, somebody. Just doing it because you don't care is not a mistake. All right, if we're going to be professional, we're going to aim to be very well, very good. Excellence is doing things as good as you can. It's not perfection. It's not robotic. It's not rule following. Come on, it's putting yourself into the situation and thinking, how can I do this the best I can? And I promise you, even if you completely miss the mark, you give it everything you got, we're going to be happy as can be with you.
Yep. That's right.
All right? Again, if you see something broken, lagging, dirty, feel free to fix it. Our professionalism will also help us when it comes to fulfilling our commitments. Now, I'm going to speak to this for a second, too. Please don't get mad at me. But if you told your team leader that your availability is this, then you need to honor that.
Right.
You need to honor what you said. If you can't, and listen, we all know there are times when we can't. There are times that are going to pop up. This morning, James and Loretta, and we're going to pray for her before we get out of here today, they called and said Loretta woke up with a headache and vertigo. Now, they're elders here at the church. You'd think you'd want your elders to be here, you know. But guess what? We understand that. So guess what? There's no reason to just get mad. There are things that happen.
Right.
And guess what they did? They did the right thing. They called the leadership and said, this is what's going on. We get it. So everybody understand, we're not Nazis.
Right.
Okay? But if you said you was going to do something, you should do it. Okay? And if you can't, you need to call somebody on your team and ask them to switch with you, just like you would as if you was at work. If you're on call to be an usher or a greeter and you can't make it, it's your responsibility to call somebody and find your replacement. Don't just dump it on the team leader, and don't just dump it on me. I can't believe how many people still call me and say, I can't make it today. I'm like, well, did you tell your team leader? Don't just dump it on Nick, our scheduling coordinator. Call somebody and say, hey, I'm not going to be able to make it today. Can you take my place? And then you call Nick and say, so-and-so is going to be, you know, taking my place today. I can't come. And you go, well, you know, what difference does it make? There's only, you know, there's less than 100 people there. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
We're up in our professionalism, so we're ready for when people walk through that door.
That's right. Come on.
All right? Not showing up is not an option. Canceling last minute, unless it's an emergency, is just so unprofessional and unconsiderate of other people. And God doesn't bless that. Okay? Professionals think about the team benefit first, and then they reap the personal benefit because of that. Listen to me. There are plenty of great players who never win championships. But who does history remember first? Championship winners.
Yep.
I love Charles Barkley. He is my favorite. Me and him share the same birthday. I hated him when he played at Auburn because I'm a Kentucky fan. Love you. So I hated Charles Barkley. But then he got in the NBA, and I loved him. But Charles, the round mound of rebound, never won a championship. And who is considered the greatest? Six-time NBA champion from the dreaded University of North Carolina. Come on. He's a Tar Heel. But he's considered the greatest because he won six.
Yep, that's right.
Michael Jordan, in case you don't know who I'm talking about. You may be good at what you do, but listen, the Lord blesses those who bless others.
That's right.
And a professional thinks about the team first. So we're going to up our professionalism. We're going to go the extra mile, not the minimum, to get by. So we're asking you to do what is asked of you by your department head to the best of your ability.
Yep.
And you say, well, I don't want to report to a department head. I want to report to you. Well, then let's just keep the church this size. I'm just going to be honest with you. I wish everybody could just report to me and Jody, and we could just love on everybody and just say we love you and thank you so much. But if we want to grow, we got to have structure. And that's why we have department heads. It isn't because we don't love you and we don't want to put up with you. We will put up with you all day long. This is the journey together. Come on, somebody. We want to be with you. But if we're going to grow, we have to have structure. That means you have to report to a department head. Okay? You're representing the kingdom of God. Not yourself now. You're representing the kingdom of God. So let's go further. You ought to educate yourself. Pay attention to announcements. Those are not just so we can see Angela's beautiful face up there every week. Or Nick or Dane or whoever's doing them that way. If it's Jody or me, whoever. It's not just to fill time during the offering. Here's a good one. You should read the email that I send to you every Wednesday. You send me an email? I send one every week. Every week. You ought to read it. You should pay attention so that if you're serving, you can answer questions. When somebody walks in the door and they got kids, well, I think it's down there somewhere.
Come on.
Come on. It ought to be, hey, let me take you down there. Let me show you where it's at. I know right where it's at. Come on, I know the children's pastor. It's our pastor's wife. If you serve, you ought to know where the children's area is. Come on now, you ought to know what's going on here. You ought to know about events that are happening.
Come on.
You shouldn't always have to be. Well, maybe I should ask somebody. Now, I know we're going over, but I'm almost done. Everybody just calm down. All right, we lost the stream audience. But we ought to know about these things. Educate yourself if you're serving, all right? The last P is this, and it's not last. It should have been first, but I saved it for last because, you know, the Bible says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. So anyway, this is the most important one of all of them. Here it is. The last P is this, prayer.
Yes.
Prayer is going to be making a comeback. You know, and we were praying throughout the year, this last year, but we're going to make a comeback, but we're going to do it a little bit different. Instead of praying every Sunday, and we're not calling it sacrificial prayer anymore, we're going to be praying every Sunday. Every first Sunday of the month. Yes. Now, the reason we're doing the first Sunday and not the last Sunday, because some people wanted the last Sunday, is because the further we get into the year, we start conflicting with holidays. There are no holidays in the first part of the year, or first part of the month, okay? And you say, what about the 4th of July? It's on a Wednesday this year, no conflict. I checked, okay? So we're going to have prayer, a special prayer meeting on the first Sunday of the month. We're calling this hashtag prayer first.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right? And we want to start each month with prayer. And see, we'll start them with prayer and end them with communion.
Yeah.
Last Sunday of the month, we just took communion. So we start with prayer. We end with communion.
Yep.
Here's three things we're praying for this first prayer meeting, which is next Sunday. You go, what about the Super Bowl? I'm going to get to that in a minute. But here's what we're praying for first. We're believing for $15,000 a month here at Direction Church.
Yes.
Now, we've been calling this in for a while. I don't know how many people are really believing with me. Okay? I don't. I really don't. I know there's some people that pray it, but we're believing and praying for $15,000 a month here at Direction Church. Now, the reason I want to do that is because there's a little girl that's coming from Rhema. She comes highly recommended, and I want to hire her. To do what? To be my personal assistant and carry my Bible. I'm joking. I don't want my wife to have to be the children's pastor. She needs to be over here ministering to you. Okay? Y'all are here. She's got that gift. All right? Remember I talked about that. All right? So, we're believing for $15,000 a month. We get there. That'll put us in a place that we'd be able to hire her. Our kids deserve something like that. Come on. She has run one of the biggest daycares in the country as far as Word of Faith churches go. She has got experience with special needs people. She comes highly recommended. In fact, Pastor Hagen's daughter, Denise, called me and said, if you can get this girl, this is the kind of girl you want. Writes her own curriculum, believes in all that kind of stuff. I mean, just, so I'm. Come on, somebody get their faith out there with me. We get to $15,000 a month, we can afford that. Amen? then we want a great turnout for Easter, and we want effectiveness. We don't want it to just be nice. I'm all right with nice, but I want it to be awesome. I want souls saved. Come on, somebody. I want lives changed. And so we're going to be starting to pray for that like crazy. Now, that doesn't mean you only pray on Sunday nights for your church on the first Sunday of the month. You keep praying with us, but that's what we're praying for. All right? And then the last one is church growth. I want lost people, hurting people, saved people. I don't care. I want them all coming through that door right there. All right? So those are things that we're praying for. All right? Last, there's one more P, participation. But this one, not really so much of the vision. But I'm going to wrap it up by saying this. We need you in order for this vision to come to pass. We got to have you.
Yeah, that's right.
I can't do this by myself. I can't do it with a few staff members. Yeah. We got to have you. We got to have you. If you let down because you think somebody else is going to do it, you're not fulfilling the vision.
Come on. Amen.
Come on, God blesses what we do.
Yes.
All right? It takes all of us working together to make it happen.
Yes.
We've been blessed here in the last little bit. Nick and Lydia came back. Nick and Lydia were here when we started. And they went away and got married and were useless for a little while. Newlyweds. Don't sit back down. All right. No, they were off building a business. They were starting their own business. And they came back, and it's so funny, the Lord directed them right back here. And he didn't just say, go to Orlando. He directed them back here. And I remember going to dinner with them and them telling me, it's like, you know, we weren't going to come back. We were just going to go to Orlando and start our business, but the Lord won't leave us alone. They said, well, why won't the Lord do that with everybody? I don't know. But he did that, and I'm happy as a lark that they're here, and you're starting to see their work popping up around here. The new website will be launching here. It's going to just be a brand new, updated, praise God, and I don't have to do it anymore. It won't look like all the pictures are stretched out and awful. So, I mean, it's going to look sharp.
Yeah.
All right? So I'm glad that they're here. All right? But it's not just us and them. Come on, it's not just Luke. Who's the most handsome worship pastor in the world?
Amen.
And single. Those of you, we lost the stream audience. I was going to put his phone number up there. Anyway, it can't just be us. We need everybody. Come on. We need everybody. All right? To fulfill the vision. It takes all of us. All right? We need workers and children's. If you're a parent, you ought to be doing it once a month anyway. We need people. Listen, if you're techie at all, I want to hand off the lights to somebody. I'm the one programming the lights. So if you don't like the way the lights look, blame your pastor because I don't know what I'm doing. All right, so I agree. I admit it. All right, so, but I want somebody, I'm not just going to hand it off to somebody that's going to go back there and read a manual. Okay, you got to have some idea of what you're doing. Okay, we need people greeting outside. Now, right now, we're splitting the greeters in the lobby, but we want to start a team of just people that are going to be outside, fun, energetic people that are going to start when people get on the parking lot. They're going to start, the first experience they get is somebody out there holding a sign.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So those are some areas that you can get working on. Here's some new projects we're starting this year. We're starting something called Young Pros. Kimmy and Jarrell, stand up. Kimmy and Jarrell are career-minded, younger, and look how good-looking they are.
I mean,
now, Luke does something with the younger folks, like the 20-somethings. They do their little Bible study thing every other Tuesday night, right back here. Usually it's back there. And it's going really good. We're happy as can be with that. But we also have a group of people here that are not 20-something anymore.
Right.
30-something. Wasn't that a show? Anyway, and so they're working. They got, you know, their career is going on. It's not that they're still trying to, you know, decide what they're doing. These people know what they're doing. They already, and yet they still want to go out and have fun and do things and stuff like that. So here's the kind of stuff they're going to be doing. They're going to be, you know, doing nights out where they all go out to dinner or they go see a concert or they go to a movie or they, you know, sometimes they're going to have group discussions. Sometimes, you know, I was talking to them last night, and they're already getting ready to start talking about vision walls and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. See, that's stuff you don't get in youth group,
or
young adults.
Right.
I mean, these are things that, you know, I want to own this many houses to rent. You see what I'm talking about? That's professional mindset. Some of you older folks are like, man, I would like to do that too. Mm-hmm. Talk to them. Okay, so we are going to bring the youth group back this year. Now, there are no teenagers sitting in this room right now. None. Julia, I can't see past the second row. Julia's here. Okay? Julia's here. We have about six. All right? Listen to me. I was a youth pastor for 25 years. If there's anything in me that screams, it's that. I was telling Nick and Lydia and Luke and Jody the other night, it's like, of all people, to not have a youth ministry flourishing in the church, you'd think, I lie awake at night thinking about that. That I would thought I would be automatic with that. But we're bringing that back this year, and we are going to have it, okay? Something else that we've also started is our pantry. Now you go, we have a pantry here? Yes. Now we're not feeding thousands, but we are helping people. And we've been kind of doing it like under the radar. But you can start now. We want you to start bringing stuff in. We'll have a list of, you know, things that we need. And it, you know, we just want non-perishable type stuff to stick in there on the shelves. And we've made impacts on people. All right? And so you can start bringing that in. When? Whenever you want. Start right now. You go to the grocery store, pick up a few extra cans or something. Don't have to be a lot. Look how many people are sitting in here. If everybody brought in two or three cans, that thing would be full all the time. All right? All right. Those are new things we're doing this year in 2018. Now, here's all the old faithfuls coming back this year. Oh, wait, there's one more new one. I'll get to that in a second. All right, and then this will be it, I promise. Next Sunday is a Super Bowl party.
Yes.
Now, you go, well, how are we going to do that and pray? Well, first we're going to meet at 5:30, and the doors will open for the party at 6. We're going to meet at 5:30 and pray.
Yep.
Solved. All right. Now, most of the time, prayer will be at 6. Next week, it's going to be at 5:30. We're going to pray for the Eagles. Come on, somebody. I'm kidding. I am impartial and do not care. All right. So, I say that because Sandy's such a hardcore. So, next Sunday. Now, we do it Super Bowl. All right. So, if we ask everybody, cook a big pot of soup, and we have a contest. See who's got the, and it's by votes. Okay. And you're not allowed to vote for your own. Okay, so we vote, we give prizes, we give good prizes too, we give gift cards and all kinds of stuff. So that is next Sunday. I believe we're doing chili also this year. So soup or chili, bring it and let's see what happens, okay? Super fan contest is also going on next week, and Sandy will probably come face painted and all kinds of stuff, but who knows? So if you want to come represent your team, that's great. All right, March the 2nd. Faith and Family Night at the Orlando Magic. We have a great deal on tickets, and we'll all get to go and sit together. Afterwards, there's a concert. They haven't released who the concert is yet, but it's Friday, March the 2nd, and they're playing the Pistons. Darnell, I know we'd be happy about that. All right, so Friday, March the 2nd, I think it's at 7 o'clock. We'll have more information about that. They just got me the artwork just the other day, so we don't have anything else about it than that. But Friday, March 2nd, I'd love to take a huge group from Direction Church. You go, oh, basketball, golly, sweaty old gross guys. It's fun. If you've never been to a game, it is a blast. I mean, it's a blast, okay? So that is March the 2nd. March the 30th from 11 to 1 is the Easter egg extravaganza. 31st?
Saturday, 31st.
Okay. Saturday, March the 31st is the Easter egg extravaganza, okay? And then, of course, the April 1st is, are you sure about that?
Yes.
Are you positive about
positive.
That? Okay. All right. Somebody double check it, because I checked it the other day, and I was like, because I was switching stuff back. So April 1st will be Easter Sunday. We will have a big deal that day, too, okay? Coming in April, we are going to start collecting money in April for the backpack outreach. Now, we don't have to do as much this year. We do the Tangelo Park Elementary. We supply all of their school supplies. We don't have to do as much this year because we overbought last year. So we have a bunch left over. We'll let you know how much that we're. So in April, we're going to start raising money then, so it's not such a crunch all the way up to August, okay? Okay, in May, I'm going to try something that the Lord's been laying on my heart for 3 years now, and I haven't had a chance to do it. But I really feel like May will be a good week. Saturday, May the 26th, we're going to do, and I'll get all these dates to you. You don't have to write all this down. We'll get it all to you. we're going to do a Saturday seminar on financial health. And we're going to, it's not just going to be a bunch of people up here talking about tithing and giving and receiving. We're going to have experts come and talk about investing. We're going to have them talking about, you know, retirement planning. We're going to have them talk about budgeting. All that's going to be on a Saturday. It's going to be free. We're not going to charge you. Okay? Okay, no excitement. We won't do it. All right, so that's going to be in May. All right? Then in June, we're going on the Israel trip, June 11th through the 21st. All right, the church picnic will be July 15th. Back to school outreach will be somewhere around the August the 10th-ish. And then back to school Sunday will be the 12th-ish. We're still trying to wait for dates. You don't know exactly when that's going to be yet. All right. Then October the 7th will be the 6th-year anniversary. And instead of doing a full-blown meal this time, we're just going to do an ice cream social. Okay, so it's a little less pressure on everybody. Harvest Carnival will be October 31st, which is a Wednesday night. So all of you that don't come to Wednesday night service, we'll finally get to see you at Wednesday night service. Operation Christmas Child will start in October. The drop deadline will be November the 18th. And then the 21st of December, we'll be handing out baskets for the food drive. All right? Now, I told you I was trying. I was trying to get this done in a timely fashion. Now, I know we got a meeting afterwards to let you guys ask questions, stuff like that. But those of you who are visiting, we'll be able to let you guys go. But now here's the thing. One of the things that you can participate in is helping us with this promotion. But in order for us to do the video stuff, now again, we've upgraded as much as we can, but it's going to still cost us about $4,000 to get new cameras and some other pieces of equipment. All right? The cameras are about $1,500 apiece, thereabouts. I actually have the list right here. Actually, it's back there. Can somebody bring me the list laying right there? The cameras are something like that. You go, well, what are these that we're using right now? If you were watching it online, you'd see we noticed it really bad Wednesday. It pixelates. Now, these are $300 cameras, and they're old. We bought these when we first started the church 6 years ago. So we're going to buy some better cameras. They're $1,245 a piece. And tripods to put them on with the focus controls and stuff like that. And we'll actually give a serving opportunity for people. They'll be able to be camera people. Yep. The zoom and the focus and all that's right there. Those are $270 a piece. And then we want to get a new Mac computer to edit and stuff with. That one I'm not as pressed on as much as we are the cameras and the tripods. Now, if somebody wanted to do the Mac, it's $2,300. But I'm not as pushed on that one because we were able to purchase a little RAM upgrade for the one mine, and it's made it 1,000 times better. So I think we can put that one off for a while. So that brings us in somewhere around $3,500. Do some add for me real quick. 1245 times 2. Can somebody just pull out a calculator? Let's not overthink this. Yeah, plus 543. $3,300. Okay, and so we bought some cords and stuff, so let's make it an even $3,500 because we bought new cabling and stuff like that. So $3,500 will get us everything that we absolutely have to have. And then if anybody wanted to do something towards the computer, that we can wait on unless somebody just feels led to do that. All right.